This is your captain speaking. As you can tell in the cabin, we're hitting some shaky times, and it's about to get worse. So please take a moment, make sure you are buckled, and the loved ones around you are buckled. Because we're about to hit Turbulent Truth. In 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Can't even get through it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm back.
The jokes that happen before I say, ladies and gentlemen, we should do a special video for those at some point.
With a lot of
when we're ready censorship. To go off. When we're ready to end the show. No.
Forever.
That was just funny. That wasn't dirty. That was hilarious.
Yeah, well,
so the reality of his absence is no longer a reality. He's back.
Ta-da!
And we're thrilled. And yes, my wife is beyond thrilled. She's like, when
is he
going to
come back?
She does a fine job, but she's not as...
obnoxious?
That's the word I was looking for. That was the word.
How do you know? It's the Holy Spirit. He tells me all the time.
All the time. Stop being obnoxious. All right. So this is Turbulent Truth. I'm Gary Chapman.
And I'm Scott Kutcher. Not Chapman, is Chapman.
No, he's not. So...
Couldn't even if I tried.
It's so hard to keep up.
Oh, okay.
The pace of play, you know, a lot of times if you're any sport, yeah. You know, when if it's one-on-one or if it's team sport, you very quickly, early in a match, you'll go, good grief, look how much faster that person is than this person.
Yep.
And there's no way they're going to keep up. No. So, you know, they should just call this and everybody go have a glass of tea or something, right?
Right.
It almost feels that way these days when we start this because... Yeah. The pace of play is overwhelming. The amount of information and
events
and disinformation.
Lots of disinformation.
Lots of that. And the
I
need.
I think they call that propaganda.
That is propaganda. Yeah. It was. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We used to hang people for it. But now they get a raise. They get a raise.
They get a raise.
No, it's just an amazing thing. It's so much fun and it can be so tiring.
Yeah.
And we're here to bring some sanity to it. If you're trying to keep up yourself, we want to help you.
Yes.
Now this is not a joke.
No. But
we really mean
we
it.
We do.
Not a joke, to quote Joe Biden.
It's not a joke. It's not a joke.
It's not a joke. Hey, man. Come on. So, and then if you're not trying to keep up, we're going to help you there too, because we're going to give you some of the information.
And if you're keeping up and it's overwhelming, we're going to help you there too, because God's in control.
Didn't I say that first? No?
I don't, kind of, but it was different.
Okay, that's better. You're right. Okay. He's right. Again.
For once.
So,
write it down.
We can talk about, let's talk about a few things. I want to.
Okay, so you know I've been living on a rock with my travel schedule.
I know.
I'm getting bits and pieces, so I'm going to let you take the lead. Tell me about what we want to discuss first, because I'm going to be seeing some of it for the first time.
Okay. Well, you're aware of the young fellow, 21-year-old Air Force guardsman who was working in some intelligence sector that leaked hundreds of classified documents.
Mm-hmm. I got a little bit of it. I don't know the whole story. Yes.
I can sum it up for you.
Okay, perfect.
They're lying to you. There's so many holes in that thing. This kid, come on. And if a person at his level in our military has access to what was released, that's the worst news possible. We're completely screwed.
Yeah, we have no...
There's zero limits, no boundaries, no controls. No,
that makes sense.
You know.
Yeah. So,
but I don't believe that's the case.
Okay.
I don't. I believe the poor fellow was set up somehow, or he's just in on it and... He's actually on a beach somewhere at this point saying, whoop, it worked. I don't know. And none of us can actually claim to know. What we do claim, is that we are two committed Christian men who are listening to the Holy Spirit as intently
Absolutely.
As we know how. And that is a beautiful thing.
That's our filter.
And it does let you see things.
Differently.
Well, when you're on, point,
Perfectly.
Yes. So that's what we're trying to do for you.
My dad used to call it a good BS meter.
Yeah, that's true. That's kind of the bottom line. So I don't think I don't think the story of how that came out is on point. I think that stuff, because it came out a couple months ago.
Yeah.
The fact that our intelligence community just now discovered it, that points to a dramatic lack of intelligence.
Smell test.
It's a...
Something stinks.
Something stinks bad.
Smell test.
That was amazing that could be laying out there literally for months.
Well, they do it all the time, though. Think about it. Think about all the other stuff that they've done the same thing, and the timing always is around some political movement, some crisis that's been manufactured, or a real crisis that they are taking advantage of.
Correct.
So, yeah, this is nothing new, guys. We all know this. It's just
but it points to the absolute fallacy of the story.
It does.
But no one is saying that the documents themselves are incorrect.
No.
And the documents themselves are damning to what the military hierarchy, what the White House, what all the media, what they've been telling you about what's going on in Ukraine, about how Ukraine is whipping Russia's butt. Oh my gosh, they're just killing them. Let's just keep giving them money to mop up, right? Let's give them a few hundred billion more, whatever the heck it is. And
I'm sorry, but I never bought it because I know they lost a lot of power after the Cold War and all that stuff. But I'm telling you right now, I never thought for a moment someone like Ukraine could just mop them up.
No.
Not for a moment.
No.
And anyone that believes that is living under a rock, literally. Not just there for a while, living there.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't make sense.
So that was part of it. There's a ton of other things that they don't want us, we the people, to be aware of.
Yeah.
Because if for only the fact that it points out that they're lying. It's not just the information itself. It's the fact that they're lying about the information.
Exactly right.
The level of trust in media, all of government.
What trust?
All of government, all of the military, all of it is so at a low.
It's corporate, just, all of it.
Everything. Corporate, same thing.
Yeah, no different. And I live in that world. You know that.
Yes, I do.
Speaking of, how about Bud Light?
Hey, how about a Bud Light? Anybody? Yeah. Well, no. Okay, you got to tell them that story.
Yeah, I was at an event. It was really interesting in an industry that I'm really entrenched in. And it was a big event, big convention. That's where I've been.
In Vegas.
In Vegas, of all places. And we're at this after-hours event. Everyone's enjoying a few drinks, and I'm sitting there talking to some friends of mine. And they bring out this, basically these, I guess they're tubs. You remember the old tubs?
Big tubs, yeah.
Yeah, two people bringing it out. They're putting it on tables. So they're like, okay, now it's time for the next round, and it's beer. And Bud Light predominantly in it, right? Well, the industry I'm in is very red, blue, American. So let's just say that a young lady a little younger than me, got upset, went around, grabbed all of them, threw them in the trash can.
Really? Just picking them up, tossing them?
Picking up, toss them. Some guy said something to her, hey, don't get a really good beer. She goes, that's not good beer. They oppressed us and Jesus freed us. And then we worked our tails off.
We, being women.
Yeah, women. We worked our tails off in the West to get all those rights that Jesus gave us. We've got them. Any woman says she's oppressed is an idiot. And now we really are being oppressed by men acting as women. And just goes on this tangent, and I'm just like, sitting back going, yeah, yeah, baby. And she gets done, and no one disagrees with her. Everybody goes, yep, you're right. And no one walked into the garbage can and took one out. No more came out that night. That's just the way it was. And if we can take stances, little ones like that, it will continue to build, and people will realize we're not going to take it anymore. We're just not. If you aren't defending women's rights and you aren't defending children's rights, then I'm sorry, this is going to offend some people. You are not a Christian. You're not. Repent.
Not to get judgmental.
Repent. Repent. Just done with it, dude. It's so stupid. These, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but I'm helping my son transition. Really? Really? Transition towards Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Transition towards what this world's saying they can be and their feelings? No. We have a social contagion going on right now, Gary.
Oh, no.
It's when you take a look at the stats and the real statistics, and I've talked to some psychologists, by the way, recently in my travels, sat beside one on a plane, very fascinating. I waited for this moment to be able to share this story with you because I want you to get it fresh.
Bring it.
So I'm sitting beside this guy, and we're talking, and I jokingly said, the woman comes by, he's got a drink ticket. I jokingly go, so you're going to get a Bud Light? And he goes, he didn't even laugh. He just kind of looks at me and goes, We're going to talk about that in a minute. I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. Right? Because older man, smart, you can tell. I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble. And he's like, so you know what's interesting is in our world, and he told me what he did. He was a clinical psychologist, blah, blah, blah. He was in our world, I do a lot with kids coming to me now that I never did before in transitioning. He goes, did you know, statistically speaking, it was always females that wanted to become males?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was never males wanting to become females.
Exactly.
He's like, it's a social contagion among kids that feel unseen, that want to be seen. Therefore, it went past being gay now to going straight. I said, well, wait a minute. What do you mean past being gay? He's like, there are some that have gay tendencies. There are some that have that same, you know, attraction. Absolutely. But it's totally controllable, just like you can control running around on your wife.
Exactly.
And I went, okay, keep going. He's like, it's gone beyond that to now the trans community is saying it's popular to be trans. You're being elevated to be trans.
Oh, yeah.
You become someone.
You're a little demigod.
So now what they say is the statistics are, is about, you ready for this? 0.03% of the population truly has the mental illness. The rest is a social contagion.
Wow.
The rest is a social contagion.
What was the number again?
0.03%.
Good grief. Good grief.
So not quite three.
That's three hundredths of 1%.
Yes, that truly have the mental illness. The rest of them, it's a social contagion. Because these kids feel like they're not seen. That's part of the issue here. And quite frankly, with social, they're not. They're not seen. With not having two parents in a household, they're not seen.
No.
And they're partially seen. And God bless the single moms. You're doing everything you can. Please keep it up. But the ones that choose baby daddies, find Jesus and stop, please. You're damaging the next generation.
Yeah.
You just are.
So everybody's got to do what he just did. With the information that you have, with the ability that you have, with the voice that you have, speak.
Yeah.
I know it's so much easier to just observe and watch it all happen. We've all done it.
And it's
I'm
scary
guilty
to
some
it's
degree.
Scary to speak.
Oh, of course
it
is. Well, until you start doing it, then it turns into fun.
Actually, it becomes extreme freedom to a level I've never experienced. So I'll have to pause. Thank you for doing this with me.
Absolutely.
Because I feel extremely free these days.
Good.
And, you know, cresting 52, I kind of don't care anymore.
No, you don't.
I don't. I'm like, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing just to let it go. And the younger you can make that choice to stop caring about. In a healthy, godly way.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean
healthy.
You don't care.
Yeah, you don't.
You don't lose
around.
Compassion.
You're right.
Yeah. You lose fear.
There it is.
And when you can make that choice to make that move at a younger age, your life will be so much fuller, so much more joyful, so much more enlightening to everybody that touches you. It's incredible.
So for a while there, you know, I drove Lyft and Uber, right?
Right.
And I did it because my wife was going through health issues.
Right.
And so I drove that for a while, and I had all kinds of experiences, actually, during Gay Pride and everything. So I had someone on this trip say, you just, you know, you got to be careful because you're not compassionate. And I looked him right in the eye because I can say this with all truth. I said, have you ever hugged a young man and held him for a moment as he cried on your shoulder because his father was never there and he was choosing a gay lifestyle that he knew was wrong in his fiber? I have.
Wow.
So until you've done that, don't accuse me of not caring. Compassion has nothing to do with validating somebody.
Mm-mm.
Nothing. With saying, oh yeah, I validate what you're doing. No. Compassion has everything to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with loving that person where they're at, but letting them know there's a better place and not leaving them where you found them.
Wow.
If you love them, don't leave them where you found them. Help them find a better way. It's just mine. Sorry.
Don't be sorry for that one.
Just a little rant.
I reject your apology summarily.
The way you said that, you have to do this.
I reject your apology. I was going to say before you so beautifully interrupted me that you know the everybody has to voice it. Everybody's however you can say it, say it. The little thing that we did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I haven't even looked, but it was way over 2.5 million
views. You want
to
share with them what we did?
It's a way to voice your opinion.
It's having some fun, too, and making light of a stupid situation, right?
She's. Dude.
She's.
Dude.
Jeez.
Dude.
Jeez.
Dude.
Jeez.
Dude.
Now, come on. You can't laugh a little bit about that. You have no humor left.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, like, we got to laugh at it, because if we don't, you're just, the other side of it is anger. Laugh diffuses it. It doesn't diminish the fact that it's wrong and there's some truth behind it, but it brings it down from being such a hot topic that someone wants to swing at you.
So when I post something like this, I get, it's almost overwhelming the amount of people who laugh, get it, support.
Yeah. You get a few though.
But here's a beautiful theme.
They jump.
Here's the beautiful theme that is very consistent throughout the people who really, really hate me for doing that. Here's their attack. This is their attack every single time. How can you call yourself
a Christian
and be so hateful and so uncaring? I'm just telling you what they do.
Yeah, I know.
When that happens, and it's rare, but it does, I will always just... How do they not know they're literally one click away from me knowing who they are, right?
Yeah.
So I go to their profile every single time. It's a godless, atheist, Marxist jerk. He doesn't know jack about what being a Christian is or isn't.
Yeah.
Don't call me something that I'm not until you've tried to be what you're calling me
unsuccessful
at, right? It's just... Good grief, how can you judge what being a Christian is or isn't when you're that far away from even trying to be one?
Yeah, but who are they coming at? They're coming at the weak-minded Christians that don't stand... No, well, but they think you're a weak-minded Christian that doesn't stand on principle, that doesn't understand the Bible,
right.
doesn't know Jesus, not know of him, but know him. And so they think they can come at you, and they can't.
Well, it's...
Because I know you never go back at them. You just kind of give them...
I tell them
whatever.
You know, I tell them what I tell them very quickly. I try to do it with as much love as I can muster, because that's the way to do it. And then if they come back and try to, you know, make peace, I make peace.
Absolutely.
If they come back again with even more aggressive crap, I jettison them into the abyss. Never to be seen again during this eternity. No, I'm kidding. It's not quite that much.
I didn't know you were a demigod.
No, it's not quite like that. But there is a pleasure of going, boop.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, you are now in my LTS file. Life's too short.
Ooh, I like that.
To deal with you. So enough of our fun.
What's in the news, Gary?
You know, gas is going up again, in case you hadn't noticed that. But that means it's time to empty the strategic oil reserve.
Let's do it.
Let's get that
back
out
up
of the
trucks, hook them up. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's make us weaker for attack by China and Russia.
18 people arrested in New York State for trafficking the same child over 7 years.
Mm.
Think about that. There was a kid in New York that got passed around through 18 different child traffickers over a 7-year period. If this kind of stuff doesn't
torque you off,
man, if it doesn't fire you up to stand up, I got nothing for you. And you need to just move along because, sorry, you're not going to make the cut. It's ridiculous. At some point, don't we have to say that again with love?
Well,
how do you wake people up if that doesn't affect you?
Well,
where are you in your...
And it doesn't matter whether it's a Christian or someone struggling with trans. Affirming someone is not love. When are we going to get that through our heads?
Mm-hmm.
Affirming the actions of an individual isn't love at all. Not condemning them and being there for them, if they want to change those actions, that's love.
Right.
So, no, I'm with you. I think you have to say those kind of things.
Okay.
Or I want to say what I said earlier.
I mentioned, just it's while we're busy getting really angry, hopefully a righteous indignation.
Pray that he doesn't like lash out. I really don't want to be punched today. Just
no, I won't hurt
okay,
you.
Okay, please.
I don't hurt people.
That's
true. Unless they try to get into my house, and then you must die. So,
in the name of Jesus.
I briefly mentioned this earlier. I just literally stumbled across a photograph of it to fire you up.
I had an ADD moment.
There were a couple of.
Oh, this one. No.
Folks, state representatives in Tennessee.
In our state.
They got expelled for clearly breaking the law. There are rules. They broke them.
There are rules. Sorry, guys.
And then the completely woke, completely corrupt Metro Council here in Nashville. Nashville is communist at this point. It's amazing.
It's a struggle, for sure. And we have to take it back.
No, it's gone.
They have it.
We have to take it
back.
They have it.
Yes.
You're right. And then the other one was even worse, from Memphis. Same thing, only worse.
Yeah.
And this is not racism. If you think it's racism, again, you're an idiot.
It's their actions.
It's not about that. I don't care.
It's the fruit they're producing.
They're purple. I do not care.
No. I don't care about any of it.
So they got kicked out. Their metro boards have the ability, because they represent those cities, they have the ability to reinstate them.
Yeah.
And they did.
And they did.
On the first day
of reinstatement,
after six people, 3 9-year-old children, 3 adults working at the Covenant School, one of which attended church.
At our church.
With us at our church,
mm-hmm.
the day before it happened. He attempted to bring a child-size casket into the legislative chamber to make his point about gun control. They put caskets on the steps of the state capitol to try to get stringent gun control, whatever, passed. Like, that would have fixed it, right? Because the gun,
without
the human, the gun is very, very dangerous. It's killed thousands of people, yeah. all by itself.
Yep. Evil will always find a way. Yeah. Car, poison, you know, air poison.
Weren't you telling me the number one choice of assassinations is?
Is knives.
It's a knife.
Because it's discreet, they can hide it easy.
Yeah.
It's a knife.
So, to use the deaths of innocent people who were horribly and tragically slain by a transgender maniac person less than 3 weeks after their deaths.
Which, let's stop there. It's not even that they're trans. Mental illness is mental illness is mental illness. They happen to have a mental illness. It's called trans.
Well, but they were trans.
Yeah, and but I'm just saying.
And there is a, if you want to bother to look it up, there is a history of that occurring.
Absolutely.
With that particular mental illness. Which, by the way, for me, 99%, and I think I'm being a little conservative, of mental illness is directly based on demonic oppression, at least possession sometimes. Okay? Those voices in your head, they don't just appear. That's the devil. That's demonic activity in your brain if you're one of those people. That's just the way I see it, sorry. I do believe that counseling is a great thing.
It is.
We look at it as rats and trash, okay? There's great counseling, there's great, there's like freedom prayer and all these things.
Which are really good.
The issue you're dealing with, you've got rats, but rats
need trash.
They have to have trash. That's why they go to the trash, right? So freedom prayer and those kinds of things, counseling-ish things, that can get rid of a bunch of the trash. But you're still going to have rats.
They're going to keep coming back because that's where they think it is.
That requires deliverance.
Absolutely. So, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I don't know why we ever separated that.
Yeah, they
should. Since the medieval times, we separated science. Since Galileo said, oh, you know what? It's actually round and we're not at the center of the solar system.
Are you sure about it?
All that kind of stuff.
Just kidding.
Yeah. And then the religious folk come by and go, yeah, you know what? We are the center of the universe. He's like, no, we're really not. We're not the center. You know, no. And all of a sudden we separate from science, right? But now quantum physics is proving the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We've never should have ever separated science and spiritual. They go together. Good science goes with the spiritual. Not woke science, not science that has an agenda. Good science that doesn't profit from it goes with.
So you're saying good science says that now the multiple studies that prove that the lab leak in Wuhan actually occurred probably in July. There were two separate leaks.
As John Stewart would say, it says Wuhan.
Yes, because it's on the building. Yeah. So look at the timeline. This is important. Yep. July, they have their first accident. Mm-hmm. Bunch of people got very sick.
Yep.
They deleted all the information.
It supposedly contained it.
Contained it?
Yeah, supposedly.
In August, mm-hmm. the Chinese Communist Party started buying up all the PPE in the world, all the masking, all the stuff, all the... They were in August. The next month, they started cornering the market because they knew that they were going to let it go again within a few months, and they would be in control of all of that revenue. And I am tired of people lying about it, man. I'm tired of people dancing about it.
Me too.
I want to see Fauci. I'm not finishing that sentence because I don't think I can do it with any degree of love. But I want to see Fauci. I want to see him. Don't you want to see him? I want to see him.
Burn.
I want to see
him. Burn in hell.
I just want to see him. I just want to see him.
Burn.
I just want to see him. I want to have an asbestos suit on when I do it, but I want to see him. I want to see him.
Here's Gary running behind you with a lighter.
No, don't you long for justice? And I know we can't take vengeance.
We can't do it.
Ourselves.
We have to give Jesus the room. But yes, our human nature is, dang on it, Lord. If it be your will, but be your will, please, right now.
Yeah.
And I get it. And that's the hard part, because you want to take vengeance. You want to do something about it. And that's where we need to speak up, but never get violent.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you heard Quick Change.
Oh, God.
You heard Senator Fetterman is back.
You guys.
I've got it. This is literally him. Is him returning to the Capitol. He looks a lot better. Don't you think he looks better?
He's got some chicken legs going on.
He looks a lot better. After a two-month absence.
Yeah, he does.
With clinical depression, he's back and looks to be in perfect form. Absolutely ready to get back and senate.
Why does he have to? He was voting when he was not in perfect form. Yeah, yeah, I'm just saying.
We haven't
given, if you could phone in your job, you would.
We haven't given him any incentive to change, have we? No, that's a quick aside.
But anyways.
Let's talk with whatever time we do or don't have left. Let's dive into...
Thank you for our ramble. Stick around.
Yes. So, Tucker Carlson...
I know where you're going with this.
We like. I don't know him personally.
I'd like to meet him. Hey, Tuck, anytime you want to have a cup of coffee, come on to Tennessee. We'll show you some good places.
Yeah. And
don't just have to come here for Kid Rock.
You know, Steve Bannon has giant issues with him. He thinks he's totally sold out to the Chinese Communist Party.
I don't think so.
And you know what? Everybody's going to think what they're going to think.
Yeah.
I watch what they do.
It's all about the fruits they produce.
So, a two-night, an hour each night, television event.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tucker Carlson sitting down with one guest and one guest only for two nights in a row for an hour each night. Elon Musk and Tucker talk about mostly AI.
Mm-hmm. Because it's the biggest threat we have.
Artificial intelligence. So it's an amazing thing to see them openly and honestly discussed where we got to at this particular moment. And the timing is important. And we'll talk about that in a minute. You want to see part of that?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, because I'm just now getting caught up.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden AI is everywhere. People who weren't quite sure what it was are playing with it on their phones. Is that good or bad?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about AI for a long time, since I was in college, really. It was one of the things that, the sort of four or five things I thought would really affect the future dramatically. It is fundamentally profound in that the smartest creatures, as far as we know, on this earth are humans, is our defining characteristic.
Yes.
We're obviously weaker than, say, chimpanzees, and less agile, but we are smarter. So Now, what happens when something vastly smarter than the smartest person comes along in silicon form? It's very difficult to predict what will happen in that circumstance. It's called the singularity. It's, you know, it's a singularity like a black hole, because you don't know what happens after that. It's hard to predict. So I think we should be cautious with AI, and we should, I think there should be some government oversight, because it affects the, it's a danger to the public. And so when you have things that are a danger to the public, you know, like let's say, so food and drugs, that's why we have the Food and Drug Administration,
right,
and the Federal Aviation Administration, the FCC. We have these agencies to oversee things that affect the public, where there could be public harm. And you don't want companies cutting corners on safety and then having people suffer as a result. So that's why I've actually for a long time been a strong advocate of AI regulation. So that I think regulation is, it's not fun to be regulated. It's sort of somewhat arduous to be regulated. I have a lot of experience with regulated industries because obviously automotive is highly regulated. You could fill this room with all the regulations that are required for a production car just in the United States. And then there's a whole different set of regulations in Europe and China and the rest of the world. So very familiar with being overseen by a lot of regulators. And the same thing is true with rockets. You can't just willy-nilly, you know, shoot rockets off, not big ones anyway. Because the FAA is oversees that, and then even to get a launch license, there are probably half a dozen or more federal agencies that need to approve it, plus state agencies. So I've been through so many regulatory situations; it's insane. Sometimes people think I'm some sort of like regulatory maverick that sort of defies regulators on a regular basis, but this is actually not the case. Once in a blue moon, rarely I will disagree with regulators, but the vast majority of the time, my companies agree with the regulations and comply. I think we should take this seriously, and we should have a regulatory agency. I think it needs to start with a group that initially seeks insight into AI, then solicits opinion from industry, and then has proposed rulemaking, and then those rules, you know, will probably, hopefully, grudgingly be accepted by the major players in AI, and I think we'll have a better chance of advanced AI being beneficial to humanity in that circumstance.
But all regulations start with a perceived danger, and planes fall out of the sky, or food causes botulism.
Yes.
I don't think the average person playing with AI on his iPhone perceives any danger. Can you just roughly explain what you think the dangers might be?
Yeah, so the danger, really, AI is perhaps more dangerous than, say, mismanaged aircraft design or production maintenance or bad car production, in the sense that it has the potential, however small one may regard that probability, but it is non-trivial. It has the potential of civilizational destruction. There's movies like Terminator, but it wouldn't quite happen like Terminator, because the intelligence would be in the data centers.
Right.
The robot's just the end effector. But I think perhaps what you may be alluding to here is that regulations are really only put into effect after something terrible has happened.
That's correct.
If that's the case for AI, and we only put in regulations after something terrible has happened, it may be too late to actually put the regulations in place. The AI may be in control at that point.
You think that's real? It is conceivable that AI could take control and reach a point where you couldn't turn it off, and it would be making the decisions for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
No, that's definitely the way things are headed, for sure. The things like say ChatGPT, which is based on GPT-4 from OpenAI, which
right.
is a company that I played a critical role in creating, unfortunately.
Back when it was a nonprofit?
Yes. I mean, the reason OpenAI exists at all is that Larry Page and I used to be close friends, and I would stay at his house in Palo Alto, and I would talk to him late into the night about AI safety. And at least my perception was that Larry was not taking AI safety seriously enough.
What did he say about it?
He really seemed to be one sort of digital super intelligence, basically digital God, if you will, as soon as possible.
He wanted that?
Yes. He's made many public statements over the years that the whole goal of Google is what's called AGI, artificial general intelligence, or artificial super intelligence. No, and I agree with him that there's great potential for good, but there's also potential for bad. And so if you've got some radical new technology, you want to try to take the set of actions that maximize probably it will do good and minimize probably it will do bad things.
Yes.
It can't just be health leather. Let's just go, you know, barreling forward and, you know, hope for the best. And then at one point I said, well, what about, you know, we're going to make sure humanity's okay here. and then he called me a speciesist.
did he use that term?
Yes, and there were witnesses. I wasn't the only one there when he called me a speciesist. And so I was like, okay, that's it. Yes, I'm a speciesist. Okay, you got me. What are you? Yeah, I'm fully a speciesist. Busted. So that was the last straw. At the time, Google had acquired DeepMind, and so Google and DeepMind together had about 3/4 of all the AI talent in the world. They obviously had a tremendous amount of money and more computers than anyone else. So I'm like, okay, we have a unipolar world here where there's just one company that it has close to a monopoly on AI talent and computers, like scaled computing. And the person who's in charge doesn't seem to care about safety. This is not good. So then I thought, what's the furthest thing from Google would be like a nonprofit that is fully open, because Google was closed for profit. So that's why the open in OpenAI refers to open source, you know, transparency, so people know what's going on.
Yes.
And that we don't want to have like I mean, while I'm normally in favor of for profit, we don't want this to be sort of a profit maximizing demon from hell.
That's right.
That just never stops.
Right.
So that's how OpenAI would.
So you want specious incentives here, incentives that.
Yes, like, I think we want pro-human.
Yeah.
Let's make the future good for the humans.
Yes.
Yes, because we're humans.
So can you just put it? I keep pressing you, but just for people who haven't thought this through and aren't familiar with it, and the cool parts of artificial intelligence are so obvious. You know, write your college paper for you, write a limerick about yourself. Yeah. Like, there's a lot there that's fun and useful. But can you be more precise about what's potentially dangerous and scary? Like, what could it do? What specifically are you worried about?
Going with old sayings, the pen is mightier than the sword. If you have a super intelligent AI that is capable of writing incredibly well and in a way that is very influential, you know, convincing, and is constantly figuring out what is more convincing to people over time, and then enter social media, for example, Twitter, but also Facebook and others, you know, and potentially manipulates public opinion in a way that is very bad. How would we even know?
How do we even know? So to sum up, in the words of Elon Musk, for all human history, human beings have been the smartest beings on the planet. Now human beings have created something that is far smarter than they are. And the consequences of that are impossible to predict. And the people who created it don't care. In fact, as he put it, Google founder Larry Page, a former friend of his, is looking to build a, quote, digital god, and believes that anybody who's worried about that is a speciesist. In other words, is looking out for human beings first. Elon Musk responded, as a human being, it's okay to look out for human beings first.
And then at the end, he said the real problem with AI is not simply that it will jump the boundaries and become autonomous and you can't turn it off. In the short term, the problem with AI is that it might control your brain through words. And this is the application that we need to worry about now, particularly going into the next presidential election. The Democratic Party, as usual, was ahead of the curve on this. They've been thinking about how to harness AI for political power. More on that next.
Okay, so he's got his head in his hands, and I put on my tinfoil hat because, you know, if you don't see this, if you see this as some conspiracy theory, by the way, you need this shirt.
Yes, very much so.
Everybody should have one. At
Truth 20, get 20% off.
Yeah, you do.
Truth 20, yeah.
Come on over, we'd be glad to have you. We could use the cash. So if you really see this as just fanciful, wow, that's weird.
Then you're not paying attention.
Let's move along. I need to go mow the yard or something.
No, it's not.
It's more than that. It's a lot more than that.
You know what it reminds me of? Noah. Flood's coming. Flood's coming.
Yeah.
No one's paying attention. Flood's coming. I'm building this. They're laughing. He's building.
As it was in the days of Noah.
And here we are again.
So shall it be.
Oh, Revelations, man.
It's back toward the end of that book we love. You should check it out.
It's all connected.
The fact that Larry Summers, well, he looks like a friendly guy, doesn't he? Doesn't he look like a sweet fellow?
Satan.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that he is openly saying that he's wanting to create this all-powerful digital God. If that doesn't register
and scare the holy crap out of you,
exactly, then I got nothing for you. If it does scare the crap out of you, I definitely have something for
you. Yes, we do.
Because the fear is the problem.
Yes, absolutely.
If you believe in God and you believe him to be all-powerful, if you believe he created this universe with the sound of his voice, and that he created you and us and all us specious.
Specious.
Isn't that special?
Yeah. Don't be a specious.
Don't be a specious. No, the fact that if you believe that, don't you dare stop believing that.
No.
There's nothing man can or will ever create that will be more powerful than the creator of man. It will never happen. You might look at it and go, wait, man was created and he created something more powerful. No. I'm going back pre-us. God was.
Yes.
He is. He's always going to be. And this is the moment we're in.
Yeah.
It's a moment. You said it. I don't know if you said it on camera or not, but you said something today that it was just the way you said it. It stuck in me about acting and reacting.
Oh, yeah. So this whole thing, what's going on here is we are relinquishing the control God has in our lives. And we are under the illusion that we still have control over anything except how we act and react to the situations that God puts us in.
That's all we have.
So these guys are trying to play God to create the situations that we now have to react to. So if they're creating situations we have to react to and God's no longer in control of it, right, which is all illusional,
yeah,
then we are buying that lie to the point where our lives are totally dictated by them, not by God, period. And where it gets really interesting and just fell on me as we were talking, and this is good, so I know it's not me. If you think about it, what was the first thing God gave us in the garden? Work.
That's true.
We aren't supposed to be lazy. We're not supposed to have things doing things for us, thinking for us. It's in the Bible throughout, renewing of our mind constantly. Right. Why? Because he wants us to take the actions he wants us to take, not the actions the world wants us to take.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to control those actions. And if they control our minds, they control our actions.
That's true. Interesting little side note on AI. Within the past couple of days, it has come out that it has, they call them, in their community, they call them hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
Like any brain It can kind of imagine some things. Mm-hmm. Well, when it has hallucinations, it voices them as fact. Mm-hmm. Check this out. This thing that they think they have created, which is actually an absolute, a tool that I believe, that we believe, that the enemy has created. But like every other time, what the enemy intended for harm, God will use for good.
Every time.
Every single time. This will be no exception. But think about this. This thing can lie. Mm-hmm. People created it. So it has people tendencies. It can lie. It, like, everybody's excited. Like, if you're a college kid, you're so thrilled about ChatGPT.
Oh, yeah. You can write your paper for you.
Type a few words or say a few words, and it'll spit out an A-plus paper. Literally in seconds. It's cheating for you. Mm-hmm. It's lying for you. You're going to hand that paper in as though you wrote it, aren't you? That makes you a liar. The enemy just made you a liar.
Yep. Did you know, Nastat, which is on, he's pretty popular YouTuber, Casey Nastat, and he's a little woke, but
yep. He's extremely brilliant,
and even he decided he was going to put it to the test recently. So he typed in a little thing that he wanted to shoot, so it would tell him what to shoot, where to go to shoot it, to do his vlog. Mm-hmm. It was so robotic, it was ridiculous, and like he said at the end, he's going to stick with the human side.
Wow.
Because at the end of the day, if you can't communicate in a way that draws people in and really truly talks to their heart, then you're just a robot.
Right.
And the scary thing is the way they're programming it and how it's learning. What'd you say? How fast is it learning right now?
Oh, this is an important little quick,
yeah, very important,
very huge side note. It's just come out again the past couple of days. Here's the stats, the numbers. It's designed to suck in all information from everywhere available.
Everywhere.
And from that leads it to more information, which leads it to more information. And it just continues to grow. And it takes all of the collective information and comes up with things that no single human ever could come up with.
Right.
Right? That's very simplified, but that's what it does. It grows to do that. Right now, it is doubling its computing ability, its power, its knowledge, if you will. It's doubling it every 48 hours.
Think about that.
Just let that settle for a second. Doubling every 48 hours, and that pace is quickening.
And yet its power will never, ever, ever match the glory of God.
No.
Never even come close to it.
No.
It couldn't even touch the hem of his robe.
No.
And so that's where we have to turn to as Christians.
Absolutely.
He's still king. He's not coming off that throne unless we replace him. Mm-hmm. Be careful not to replace him. Now, on a good note, that kind of computing power, like you said, can cure cancer. Yeah. I mean, in moments.
Amazing.
Just used for good, just boom, taking
right.
care of things.
That's what's going to happen.
The intention of man has always been the downfall of man. So are your intentions for God or are your intentions for self?
We got simple, but we got truth. And yes, yep. It's turbulent.
Very.
Sorry about that. I'm kind of not. No,
we love y'all.
We continue to be thrilled to talk about this and
absolutely.
Bring this information to you. And as always, lift up Jesus in the middle of it.
Yes.
Because without him, we're toast.
Sure, with him. With these kind of people in this world, we're toast. We're just robots. They're going to control us if we don't have Jesus.
Yeah. And with him, absolute peace.
Yes.
Absolute protection.
And do
absolute victory.
With everything.
We do not lose.
No.
We don't.
So with that being said, speaking of losing, we were taken down again on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube right now,
shocker.
Go to Rumble,
yeah.
please.
Yeah.
We everyone that's watching us on YouTube, go to Rumble, find us on Rumble, subscribe to us on Rumble, tell all your friends to go to Rumble and do the same.
Yeah.
Because we got to fight this.
Just go to the website.
Yeah.
Or just
go straight to our
very
website.
Easy. Clicky.
Boom. And all the episodes are there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'm Gary Chapman.
And I'm still Scott Kutcher.
And this is still quite turbulent truth.
Indeed.
On the ground, a large fire just a couple hundred meters from the White House.
On top of it, jumping on this windshield.
The anger and the flames, it's all become soberingly familiar in this country.
And now they are blocking freeway traffic as you...
If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'm gonna forgive their sins and heal their land. Humble yourself and pray. Seek my faith and turn from your wicked ways. Then I'm gonna hear from heaven. Forgive your sins, and I'll heal your land. And pray. Seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Then I'm gonna hear from heaven. Forgive your sins, and I'll heal your land.
If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, that I will hear for heaven and I forget for sin and heal their land.
Just pray.